I am excited about what the Lord has asked me to share this morning because it's a little different. And I'm learning that when I step out of what I've become comfortable in, then I grow. And so I want to start this morning, and I want to use an illustration with you that I used in my work. So Bruce, if you'll put the first slide up. And yeah, he'll start that thing and you can see it better. This is a picture of a lady named Eleanor Smith. And I used this when I was working. We had formed a new group and we were starting some work that hadn't been done before. And I needed to motivate these people to make some things happen. And I found this quote that we're going to look at in a moment. But let me tell you about Miss Eleanor Smith. Born in 1911, she was one of the greatest female aviators ever. She soloed when she was 15 years old. And at that time, that's really unusual. She was three months later, she set an altitude record of 11,889 feet in this little open-air airplane called a Waco 9. In September of 27, at the age of 16, she became the youngest licensed pilot on record, male or female. And then in 1928, she broke into headlines in a really unique way when she took this airplane and flew it under New York's four East River bridges. She also set numerous speed records, altitude, and endurance records, all by the age of 18. She continued on as an aviation pioneer throughout her life. And as late as 2001, when she was 90, and by the way, she died at 98, she was invited to fly, and this is at age 90 now, she was invited to fly an experimental aircraft. Now, that takes some confidence in your abilities. And that occurred at NASA's base at Langley Air Force Base. Now, the reason that I picked this is, I didn't pick it. I was actually reading some things the other night, studying some things about boldness. And the Lord brought this to mind because this was in probably 2003, 2004 when I put this together. Well, the reason I used it is she has a quote that I found that, Bruce, you can add now. And it says, "It has long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely set back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things." Now, why am I using something in the business world? Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, says, if I tell you things in this natural world and you don't understand them, how are you going to expect to believe things in the supernatural? So I think we can learn from this today. And so what she says here is, they went out and happened to things. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is happening faith. Now, before I get into it, I want to talk some more about some things with her. But I also want to share with you a word that I found when I was beginning to study. After I'd seen this, the Lord told me to go back and look at some things. And I found this note that I had made to myself back in 2013. Now, when you read this note, do not read it as negative. And I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't do that. We had been moved to Macon 2 weeks when this came. And what I was doing when we first moved was just studying all day. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't send you to Macon to minister to whiners, to pacifists, that's a really interesting word, and complainers. But I sent you to a group who would boldly draw near to the throne of grace to receive. And why I say you need to be encouraged about that is, who am I talking to this morning? The people he sent me to. And he's calling us here at High Point, and those of you who attend, if this is not your home church, well, I include you in it for coming out to healing school every week. This is you and I, a people, his people, who will boldly draw near to his throne of grace to receive. Now, this quote, or this word that the Lord gave me, is really not separated from the quote that Miss Eleanor had. It's tied to it because it's talking about to receive, we've got to do what? Boldly draw near to that throne of grace. And I want to tell you, this is true whether we're trying to receive something for ourselves or we're trying to receive it with another person that we're ministering to. So, Bruce, if you'll go back to the previous slide, and we think about what Miss Eleanor said. They went out and happened to things. I thought about Jesus. What did he say? I only do what I see and hear my Father do. He didn't just go out and do what he wanted to do. He reacted to what the Father. So in telling you that we want to make some things happen, whose things do we want to make happen? Just things that we are interested in or things that he is interested in? You know, you can start a lot of good acts, but if the Lord is not in it, you're going to grow weary. You're going to be fighting things all the time. And so it's an uphill battle. But when we're doing what those things that he's telling us to, then we ought to go with some confidence, with some boldness, with some assurance that what he's telling us to do will come about. You may be, let me just say one other thing about that. I've learned the more I act on everything he's saying, the more he will say to me. The more I act on everything he's saying, then he'll say to me. Now, many of you may say, I just can't seem to hear. I'm willing, I want to, but I just can't seem to hear. One of the testimonies I have that the Lord told me something to do, I put it off for about a year and a half, didn't act on it. And I'm sitting watching TV one day, and a TV minister basically says what I just said to you. If you're not seeing things happen, you need to go back and think about, ask the Lord to show you what's the last thing he told you to do that you pocketed. And as soon as he said it, I knew what I needed to act on. Now, the other night, about 2 weeks ago, I want you to turn to Exodus, the third chapter, third chapter. I was sitting doing some reading on my own. There are some things the Lord has asked me to do that I'm starting that I'm still excited. I'm very excited about, but there's still some apprehension there. And so I've been praying about this thing that I knew he was asking me to do for a while. And he led me to this verse. And he led me there in the middle of the night, actually, after I'd been studying and thinking about these things that evening. I was awakened in the middle of the night, and what I heard him say was, you must turn to look. Now, I believe that he then put this scripture in my mind, and we're going to talk about Moses here. And in verse 1, it says, he was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, I personally believe that was a manifestation of Jesus there, appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So he said, and this is what I remembered when the Lord told me this, I must turn aside now, and I must see this marvelous thing, this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. And then verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here am I. Now, if we'll go back to verse 3, here's Moses out in the desert. He sees this burning bush. He's got his sheep there feeding them. And the bush is not consumed. And then he says, I must turn aside. Now, what that says to me is there are things we are doing that we will be doing that are good things, things we are called to do, things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis. And when the Lord starts speaking to us, he's not just speaking to us or showing us something, just so we can see it. He's got something he wants us to do with it. There is a reason for it. And too many of us, and I raise my hand, chiefest amongst us all, I get so busy sometimes that I hear from God, or that I sense I'm beginning to hear something from God, or he wants to show me something. Probably that's the most accurate way of saying it. But I keep on doing what I'm doing. And then I complain, Lord, I know you were trying to tell me something. Why didn't you finish? What did I not do? I did not turn aside to take my attention off those things that I'm focused on to behold him. And there are a lot of us that do that, and we do it over and over and over because the Lord is constantly talking to us, telling us these things. And we get so busy that we just don't quit what we're doing, or even worse, we get to a point where we don't realize he's speaking because we get so tuned in to what we normally and routinely do. And that's one of the reasons I believe we don't hear from God. Now, that's also can be leading into that definition for insanity of saying you keep doing the same thing over and over without changing and expecting different results. That just doesn't make any sense, does it? So what the Lord is trying to tell us to do is there are things in our life, and I believe it's true about healing also. A lot of us are seeking the Lord, I am, on some healing, and we haven't walked in it yet. One of the things I'm learning is that even with that, I need to, when I'm hearing him lead in a way, I need to turn aside and get more of his heart on that matter. So let me encourage you in that. Now, with that then, look at verse 4. Moses says, I must turn aside. And notice, he doesn't just say what he wants to do or what he needs to do. He does it. Do I need to say that again? Because a lot of us say things we intend to do, and we never do it. Even to the point of saying, hey, I'm going to set up a time, we're going to go to lunch together. And then you never hear from me. So we have good intents, but they're intents. When we know that we believe what we said, we do what? We act on it. We become a doer of the word. So this scripture tells us when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, and I'm going to say to look at him, because that's who it was in the bush, God called to him. You see the connection there? When Moses put his attention on the Father, the Lord talked to him. And I'm going to tell you again, I believe that is a problem we have receiving from the Lord related to things that we're seeking healings about, because we hear him leading us, we sense him leading us, but we're so focused on what's wrong with me, what this growth is, what this spot is, what this feeling I have is, that we don't ever take our attention off of this spot and turn it to him. Therefore, he's not able to give us the instruction. All the while, we're asking, Lord, you said you're going to give me wisdom. Give it to me. And he's trying. But we must turn aside to look at him and receive what he's saying. And he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. So let me encourage you with that. If you're frustrated, if you've gone through some things where you just feel like I'm ready to quit and give it up because I don't feel like I'm healing, I'm hearing from him regarding your healing or regarding anything in him providing you direction, repent for the frustration and say, Lord, I'm turning to you now. Now, in doing that, you may need to set aside some time. Make some time available. Quit doing those routine things that you're doing. It may mean turning off some things or closing a computer. And I'm talking to myself now because I face the same things that you do. Just because we teach this doesn't mean we've got a special grace to live it. We have to do the same thing. So there may be some changes that you have to make in your life. Now, back to Miss Eleanor. And I want to talk about happening faith to you. Bruce commented earlier, that's a 70s term. Well, guess when I was a teenager and moved into my 20s, in the 70s. And that's okay. But think about Miss Eleanor in the natural. She had to have confidence in that airplane. Now, how did she gain confidence in that airplane? A couple of ways. One of the ways that you gain confidence in an airplane is you read about what it will do. You read the instruction manual. Similar to something that most of you are holding on your lap now, for us, with the Word of God. The other thing that you do is you try things. You step out a little further. You go a little faster. You do this also. When you're in an airplane learning to fly, one of the things you do is learn how to come out of a stall. That's where an airplane is going along fine and all of a sudden it loses speed and it just begins to drop. When you go through pilot training, the guy who's teaching you or a lady who's teaching you will put that thing in a stall and make it fall and say, "Your airplane, recover it." And what are they doing? They're stepping out on it. Now, what does that have to do with me and healing? Well, what is my first thought when something comes? Do I react from my spirit man inside? Or if I have a little headache, do I run to take a pill? Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not knocking taking medication. Thank goodness we have it. The Lord uses it to work, put us in a spot where we can get where we can receive our healing. But my point is, what is the first thing you do? Because if you're in an airplane and it stalls, the pilot must know the first reaction they're going to make because it is a life and death matter. So it's your first reaction that you learn about where your confidence and your trust is. Is it in the medicine cabinet? Or is the first thing you always do is stop, "Lord, this is not from you, therefore," and begin speaking to him. So you've got to have confidence in it. You've got to know what the manual says and how to apply it. Now with this, once you do it, then she had to have a little boldness to keep pushing that throttle faster. She had to have even more boldness to push it fast and run under those bridges close to the water. But what was she doing every time? Every time she succeeded in something, she could take it a little higher. I want to encourage you in this because too many times I've found in my life, I take, when it regards healing, the easiest way out for me. In other words, I don't look to the Lord first. I will go, what can I do in the natural? And where do we want to be led? In our spirit man, from inside. So let me encourage you in this to just look introspectively and let the Lord reveal to you if there's some minor things you need to change. Because I have found, now that I've been standing for some things, it becomes easier. Why? Because my trust level in the Lord, my confidence level, continues to grow in time. Then when the big things hit, and it's not a matter a lot of times of if they'll hit, it's when they hit, you're going to be ready for it, and it's just going to be that. You know, I heard somebody say recently, "Well, we've gotten to the point where we're going to have to use our faith." And I thought immediately of people saying, "Well, we've done everything else to do. We got to pray." Those two are kind of similar. We ought to be joyful about walking in faith every day and seeing these obstacles as just another opportunity to overcome the devil and rub it in his face. Rub what in his face? What Jesus did on the cross for us. So let me urge you in those areas to just consider it so that we can have that happening faith as we hear what the Lord tells us to do, and then we go with boldness and act on it. Now, we're in healing school. So let's go to Luke 5 and let's look at some examples of what I would term boldness on the part of people who received their healings from Jesus. And you say, well, now, that was real easy. All they had to do is go to him. You know, it's not really just that easy. It takes some courage at times to step out over that wide chasm that looks like it's nothing under there to hold you up. The Lord is reminding me now as I'm talking, when Peter stepped out of the boat, what did he step out on? People would say the water. I would say he stepped out on that faith that he had looking at the one who he knew was going to sustain him, who was going to keep him up. When he took his eyes off the one who sustained him, what happened to him? Then he was stepping out on water, and he began to sink. So in Luke 5:17, it says, and there came about one day he was teaching. And there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there. And they had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. I like this phrase, the power of the Lord was present. In the original language, what it says is the power of the Lord was. The translators added the word presence. Now, where is that power of the Lord today? I'm going to tell you it is. And it's inside you because he's the one who's dwelling in you. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. Why? Why were they willing to do that? Why were they willing to bring this guy there, who I also believe had great faith? Because they had heard of what Jesus has done. They knew. They had some words that built what? That built some faith and confidence. Hey, everybody that goes to this guy leaves healed. And so they were willing to take a risk to go to him. And that wasn't the first risk they were going to take. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Now at this point, the one who's taking the biggest risk, I think, is that guy on what they call a stretcher. But it was more like a rug. And so I can envision him trying to figure out how I'm not just going to slide right off this thing as they were trying to keep him level. So he obviously had faith. And look what it said. And Jesus, seeing their faith, seeing their attempt to do what they had heard needed to happen in order for their friend to be healed, stepping out in what they had heard. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. But the guy didn't get up, did he? And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, unaware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven to you, or to say, rise and walk? Now, I'm going to stop there because you know the rest of the story. Jesus turned to him and told him to get up and go home, and at once he rose. But look at the question here. Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or get up and walk? Well, they were both equally the same for Jesus. Well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. Yes, he was the only begotten, but he was the Son of Man. He laid aside his deity power. Why could he say that? Why could anyone be healed in the old covenant? Because of what was about to happen at the cross. Same act, you're forgiven. Same act, you're healed and you get up and walk. So this is happening before the cross. And their confidence was in something that they hadn't seen yet. Our confidence is in what? The Word of God, which says we have been healed. And we'll get more into this probably next week. Look at another instance where it took some boldness to do that. Go to Matthew 9, 27th verse. Matthew 9, verse 27. This is a short account, But this is a very powerful one to me. And it also describes this boldness, this willingness to make things happen. Happen to things. Jesus went out from there. He'd been teaching. Two men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And then verse 28 says, "When he entered the house." So what does this imply? Well, he obviously must have walked right by him and not spoken to him. And I don't know exactly whose house. I don't remember whose house he was in. I don't know if he even says. But what did they do? Would you be bold enough to just follow somebody on in to someone's house to receive the healing that you knew if they turned their attention towards you, you would get? This is exactly what they did. The blind men, he entered the house and the blind men came up to him. They went in the house where he was. And Jesus just asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to do it?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And what happened? He touched their eyes and said, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." I'm going to tell you, they had happening faith. They were convinced that when they acted on and got Jesus' attention to show mercy to them, they would have what they needed. Probably the most common one we think about is in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. So let's look at a couple of verses of that. Mark 5, and we'll start at 25. Jairus has beseeched Jesus to go with him, and now they're walking. And we pick up in 25, and it says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and had suffered or endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was not helped at all, but rather has grown worse." Do you think that the thought came across, "I need to do something different from what I've done to her"? That it's insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over? I think she probably did. Now, why would she do that? After hearing about Jesus, verse 27, after hearing about Jesus. Now, why did this move her? What did she hear? Had she heard that he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me"? And not only did she hear that, but she hear about what he had done. She may have had friends come by to tell her, "Let me tell you about what I saw," or "Let me tell you about what happened to me." And she began to see it. Then, that when I get there. So it says, she came up in the crowd behind him. Now you say, "Well, I can understand that, but what's that got to do with boldness?" We need to realize in her condition, she was not allowed in crowds. In fact, the one who could punish her for this act was standing there walking with Jesus. But did that stop her? No. Why did it not stop her? She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. And the next verse says, New American Standard says, "For she thought." The literal translation says, "For she was saying." And it's in a continuous tense, so it's like she was saying it over and over and over. And then the word "if" is there. Now the word "if," the Lord was speaking to me this morning when I was going back through this, he said, "Look that word up." That word is also translated "when." So it's like Sheikah saying, "When I touch his garments, when I touch his garments, I will get well." So she's taking a chance. She powers her way out. She doesn't feel like it. She probably doesn't have the strength. Maybe like you, some of you today who came and you've said, "I don't have the strength, but I'm going." Well, let me tell you, you're going to leave with strength. I'll just declare that over you. And so immediately then, her blood flow was dried up. So what do we learn from this woman? She heard, confidence came, and a boldness to step out at risk, to put herself at risk, came upon her, and she was able to go and receive what she had. Now I want you to go to Mark 1, verse 40. Because this principle that we're going to talk about is key. This is the account of the leper coming to Jesus. And he comes to him and said, I know you can if you will. I know you're willing. I don't know you're willing. If you are willing, I know you can. Now, I personally don't believe that this man is in faith, because when we are in faith, we must know that he is willing. We must trust his word. Let me say that differently. We must trust his character, his nature, his love for you to step out on that word and let that word sustain us. He says, I know you're willing. I know you can if you're willing. Next verse. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, what's he doing here? He's giving him a word to stand on. So this is for somebody today. And I'm going to say it like he's talking to us. I am willing you be cleansed. If he said it to that man, we know he's no respecter of persons, so he's saying it to whom? To you and to you and to you and to me. He is willing, be cleansed. What is he looking for us to do? He's looking for us to have that faith to receive what he's saying, because everything we get from him, all the grace that we get from him, we must receive through faith. And so he reached out his hand and he touched him, and instantly the man is cleansed. So in each case here, there are several things that we see. There was a boldness. Faith eventually came. His words were heard. And his words represented his will. And that's what we must know, that it is the Lord's will to heal us. A lot of people say, I know he wants to heal me. But where we need to be is, he has healed me. I am the healed of the Lord. Now, some of you may say to me, Minton, I believe what you're saying, but this boldness that you're talking about is not who I am. That's not a character trait that I have. I would say to you, if you had known me 20 years ago, you would not have seen me standing up here proclaiming the word of God to you. There was not a boldness to do that. There was no confidence. The few times I remember getting up in church and talking, my mouth got so dry I couldn't make spit if I had to. There was no confidence, is why there was no boldness there. But you may tell me that, and what I'm going to tell you is, you are not what you can be. You are what you've become. But what you can be in him is totally different to what we have become. Because we can take it to another level and to another level. And to be honest with you, that's what we're going to be doing throughout eternity, is learning more and more and more about the Lord. Now, in John 18, the 25th verse, Peter. And you might say, well, Peter was bold. I wouldn't agree. I would say Peter was very brash. And he put his mouth in motion before his brain ever went into gear a lot of times. But in this account with Peter in John 18, they've taken Jesus to Caiaphas' house. And Peter's standing by the fire warming himself. And they say to him, aren't you one of his disciples? And he says what? Not me. Next verse, same thing happens. A slave came to him, who was a relative of the one he cut the ear off of. He said, weren't you in the garden with him? Didn't I see you? And what does Peter say? No. And immediately, and after the third time of this, the what? The rooster crowed. So what would we say about Peter? At this point, he was not very bold. Now later on, in Acts, in the fourth chapter, the 13th verse, he's talking to the multitudes, including the Pharisees, the ones who are in charge, and it says, they say concerning Peter. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they knew they were uneducated, they marveled. So I would ask the question, what happened to Peter that gave him this boldness to step out? Now, being well taught, most every one of you would say Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And I would say, yes, that's one of two things that happened to Peter. And it happened to be the last one. But I want you to go back to the book of John, the last chapter. And I want to show you something else in John's account concerning Peter. In 21st chapter, and let me tell you what's happened. The disciples are there. They felt like we've given our whole lives. Nothing, you know, everything we thought was going to happen hadn't. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Let me tell you what Peter was saying. Peter is saying, I'm quitting this disciple stuff. I'm going back to what I'm comfortable with, to what I know. What was he saying? I'm going back from the supernatural to depend on the natural. I really think he was that distraught about everything that happened. That's when Jesus appears. He tells them to cast the net. They do. They bring in fish. Jesus prepares the meal for them. And then Jesus, talking to Simon Peter, says to him, so when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, let me look at mine just to make sure I'm saying the same. Yeah, that's where I want to be. Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now what Jesus just said to him is, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally, without any reservations, without knowing or looking to see, am I going to do something for you? Do you love me? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now, what Peter said back to him was, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. That's the word for brotherly love, for that kind of friendship that says, scratch my back and I may scratch yours. And I want you to look at what the Lord said to him when he could not respond to Jesus, yes, I agape you. He said, tend my lambs. In other words, I believe he's telling Peter what his calling is going to be. Next verse. He said again to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. You know I phileo you. And he said to him again, shepherd my sheep. And then 17. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Only this time he said, phileo. Let me read the response and then we'll talk about it. Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now, why am I reading this verse to you? Why are we talking about these things? You think I'm not able to be bold. This is how Peter was. But here, in the presence of the Lord, Peter is discerning his purpose in life. He's receiving his purpose in life, his instruction. Jesus says, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter, I have to respect him. This is one of the things we need to do in our dealings with the Lord. Be honest. He could not say, I agape you, back to him. So he said what he knew he could do. And the Lord told him to tend his sheep. Then a second time, we get the same thing happening. And Peter gets a little more concerned that he's saying that. But the Lord talks, and he responds in exactly the same way. But what happens a third time? You know, we think that he just got aggravated because the Lord said it to him three times. I think what grieved Peter is the fact that the Lord was willing to come down to his level where he was and meet him where he is. And beloved, that's what he'll do to you and I today. And he said, do you phileo me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. So Jesus came down to his level so he could identify with him at the point where he could. He was honest with him. Now, the thing that stands out to me here is that the thing that Jesus told him to do when he asked him the first time using the word agape is the same calling he gave him when he could only use the word phileo, when he came down to his level. This says to me, Jesus is willing to come down to where we are so that we can go up to where he's going to take us to. And the same is true of our healing. It's absolutely true. Be honest with him. If we're fighting fears, if we're fighting lack, be honest with him about where your faith is, because he came down to bring you up. In the account of the Good Samaritan, in the Amplified Bible, it talks about when the Samaritan saw him. The Amplified says it came down to where he was in that ditch. We need to understand that about Jesus and quit saying, because I think I'm this, you can't bring me up to this that you're calling me to do. And that includes his desire for you to call yourself healed. We can be bold. Boldness is not a character trait. It is trusting the integrity of God's love and his word to you that he will watch over his word to perform it. He will bring it to pass. But we have a role to play in that. He came down so that we can move up. How does faith come? By hearing God's word and by seeing his will for you in your life. Now, all this talk about boldness, let's go to Hebrews 4:16 then. And I'll just tell you, we will probably continue this discussion next week because we're not going to get through all of these notes. And it would be appropriate that I say it this way. I'm looking for a landing spot where we can land softly, since we used an airplane analogy earlier. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore. What is therefore, therefore? It goes back up to what it said earlier. Because we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, one who has been tempted in all things as we are. Therefore, let us draw near with, now depending on your translation, it's going to say boldness, King James, New King James, or confidence. Boldness or confidence. The word there is parousia. And it literally means to speak frankly or to speak openly. But it is translated boldness and confidence. That's why I say to you, boldness is not a character trait. It's a matter of trust and confidence in the word that our Lord Jesus spoke concerning the matter that we're standing on, that we're believing for. So he tells us to do what? Draw boldly or confidently to the throne of grace, to that place where he's seated, to that place where everything flows from, that you may receive mercy. Now the word therefore receive is the same word that's translated obtain. It's also translated take. It's the Greek word lambano, and it literally means to seize with the hand. So to take it, that mercy that's there, and that's not all, but we're going to find grace to help in time of need. Now let me read you a couple of other translations that I think do this really well. Complete Jewish Bible says, therefore let us confidently approach the throne of God, from which God gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Amplified Bible says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly. I like that, fearlessly. If you have any fear of approaching God? Are you going to do it boldly? It's not going to happen, is it? And we see over and over that perfect love, no fear of judgment, cast out fear. And let me make this statement. I actually used it in two times of ministering or teaching yesterday. The reason you don't have to fear judgment is because your judgment day is not coming. It is in your past. You were raised up from Jesus' judgment so that you wouldn't be judged in a coming day. And you've got to walk in that knowledge of that love, in that maturity of that love, knowing Him, so that His perfect love dwelling in you will dispel, will cast out that. Our judgment day is not in our future. It happened in the past. And it's the same act that took care of our judgment that provides for our healing and our peace and our prosperity. So Amplified says, let us then fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us. And it says sinners, and I would say to us who were sinners, because we're not today, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Then it amplifies and says, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. I also want to read you the Young's Literal Translation. Now, this guy wrote a concordance, so it doesn't read easy, but I place a lot of stock in the words he uses. Young's Literal says, we may come near then with freedom. That's the word he uses for confidence and boldness. We may come near then with freedom to the throne of grace that we may receive kindness and find grace for seasonable help. That word free is so important because it's free of fear, free of concern, will he do it? It's that freedom that comes where Jesus says, if you continue in my word. Now that doesn't mean I just stay reading it all the time. It means I read it, I take it in, and I what? I do it. Then you will be my disciples. And then the truth that you read, you got revelation of, and that you're walking in will do what to you? Set you free. That is the confidence, that is the trust, that is the freedom that we need to get to go boldly to this throne of grace and take this healing. Now, let me kind of land this. Where to do it? Ephesians 2, 13th verse. So as I close today, I want to transition to so that you're thinking, I'm not going to ask God to heal me. I want you to see that you are approaching that throne of grace to take what He's already done. Now, in order to go there, you've got to know that you belong there. And so verse 13 in Ephesians 2, I guess I need to get there, says, but now in Christ Jesus, then it talks about us, who we were, you who were formerly far off have been brought near. How? By the blood, I would say by the covenant sealing blood of the Anointed One. You have been brought near. Near to where? Well, let's look at the word and let it explain it. Go back up to verse 4. He just told us that we were formerly in our flesh. We lived in the desires of our flesh. We were children of wrath. And then verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. That love is the foundation of trust. If you are thinking, I just need to get more faith so I can be more bold, I want to caution you. Faith is a starting point. Hang on. I wanted to go over to Peter. And I'll... Second Peter. Sorry, Bruce. First chapter. Nope. Is that not? Yes, that's right. In verse 5. Says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, where? In your faith. And so it's talking about in our faith. That's the starting point, applying diligence to our faith. Supply moral excellence, and in our moral excellence, knowledge. And continue, Bruce, please. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. In the next verse. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. What is the starting point for this walk we're in? Faith. What do we need to mature in if we want our faith to grow? What's the ending point here? Love is. I've said to you before in healing school that I view love as the curtain rod on which all the other fruit of the Spirit hang. So what do we do? I got to get more faith. I got to get more faith. Lord, I'm believing for more faith. I'm going to read. I'm going to read. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to study. I'm going to study. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. What I want to tell you is that if you realize that you need to build your faith up, start building yourself up in His love. How do I do that? By looking at Jesus in the Gospels. If you examine Jesus, you will see love. And your love for Him will mature. Your knowledge of His love for you will grow. And in that space, your faith will continue to rise. Now, back to Ephesians 2. Where are we seated? Where have we been brought near? Verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up with Him and He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when the word says to come boldly to the throne of grace, beloved, that's where you're seated, in Him. This is not something you have to make happen. You simply declare in your mouth, by your mouth, with your words, where you are. This is where He's put you positionally. This is how we draw near. Psalm 91. How do we get in the secret place of the Lord, and under the wings? We get there by saying who we are and where we are. So I don't want you to see this. What I want you to see is this is a done deal for you. But we won't go there and take until we see ourselves as worthy of sitting there. As worthy of sitting there. You're already in that place. Who is the only people who are allowed to just walk in the throne room of a king, of a real king? Let's go back to Esther. Esther wasn't allowed as his wife just to walk in. But who can walk in to a throne room and go up and sit on daddy's lap? His kids. And Galatians tells us we are all sons, children of the Most High God. This place of boldness, it's already inside you. This thing of boldness. So today, we'll pick up next week and talk about steps to receiving and some other things. But today as we close, if you recognize, as we've shared today, that I've been one that hasn't had happening faith. Let's just say it that way. And we know now faith is not the end all. But ask the Lord to just tell Him, just repent of it. Put it in your past. That's where your judgment is. And you go on forward not looking back. And it's done. And then what are we going to do? We're going to say, Lord, I receive. I've had my eyes open today. I have an understanding that I am seated with You in heavenly places. Positionally, You've put me in the throne room in Jesus. Therefore, today, I'm going to take that which I need for my body. I'm going to receive my healing. I'm going to take that peace that I need in my mind. That peace that passes all understanding. That peace that You said was Yours, Jesus, that got You through the cross. We're just going to take it right now, Lord. So do that with me. If there's something you've been believing for, then just see yourself sitting there in Jesus, right next to Daddy, and receive that mercy and grace that flows from His throne because of His great love for you. See yourself as just taking that now. Speak it out loud. You don't have to say it loud to others here, but just declare, I'm there with You. I'm taking this healing for my eyes. I'm taking this healing for this little hernia that's trying to come on my body. I'm taking this healing for my bad knees. I'm taking this healing for whatever it is. And I'm not just confessing things that I'm believing for. I'm taking strength today. I'm partaking of that peace that only You give, Jesus. That peace that is based upon my knowledge of Your love for me. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We magnify Your name. We magnify Your name. Just as we read earlier, Lord just brings this back. As they were taught, what happened? The power of the Lord was. And that is what I'm declaring over us today. The power of the Lord is now for those things that we need healing for. The power of the Lord is here for those things that we need healing for.